Hello and welcome to the Movers and Shakers podcast. My name is Gino Barbaro, co-founder of Jake and Gino, multifamily investor, educator, father, and mentor. With me today is Brady Pratt. This is a special guest, everyone. 25-year-old multifamily investor and licensed realtor, Brady started selling real estate to build his network. Since 2019, he's been able to grow and scale a remarkable portfolio along with his partner, Dom, by purchasing mismanaged properties, aka mom and pops, without syndicating or using private money. And they haven't looked back since then. Welcome to the show, Brady. How you doing, brother?
Good, man. Good, man. Thanks for having me.
Talk to me. Give me your story. Why real estate?
Yeah, so obviously I'm relatively young, so let's start with high school. Right after high school, I enlisted in the Marine Corps, did that thing. I had no idea what I wanted to do with my life. I got out in 2019, and somewhere, I guess it was board on deployment or board on ship, I started reading books. I found Bigger Pockets. I saw Grant Cardone, you know, that caught my interest. And so I started learning as much as I possibly could. You know, I knew I wanted to buy apartments after I got out, but I didn't know how I was going to get there. So I saved enough to buy a single family house in a college town. So I did that. Wouldn't recommend that to anybody. It was a horrible experience. They stayed for a year. I got tons of phone calls, tons of complaints, and it cost me about $15,000 to get that unit turned for the next tenant. So after that, I got licensed as a realtor. I started selling. That was good because I got to build my network. You know, I got to meet with several lenders, attorneys, and then I got to see some really good deals. You know, that gave me a constant funnel of, oh, you want to buy that? That's a great price. You know, take this off my hands kind of thing. You know, and I was more than happy to do that. So that put me in a good position. And then I ended up meeting my current business partner, Dom. So him and I are quite different, but we complement each other well. So he's in his 60s, French guy. He immigrated to the U.S. when he was younger. He's been working in banking for a long time. So he had a pretty high net worth. You know, he had a lot of money, but he didn't have a lot of time because he was still working full time. You know, so I was younger. I could go and find these deals. You know, I could hire all the subcontractors, make it happen. He couldn't do that. I didn't have the money. I didn't have the credit. So it was kind of just a perfect thing between us. I brought just enough money, just enough skin in the game. And, you know, he obviously banks looked at him. They liked him. So it's been a really great thing ever since we got started. And we haven't looked back since.
And it's right funny what you say that, Brady. What you're saying to me is, you got educated, you started, and all of a sudden you had the skill. Everyone's going to say, well, Brady's lucky. He found Dom. There's no such thing as luck, everybody. It's hard work. And when you get out there and you're able to add value to somebody, that person is going to be attracted to you. So you're giving as much value to Dom as Dom is giving to you. He may not have needed you as much as you needed him in the beginning, but now you're creating a nice little empire with the two of you. And, you know, from that perspective, I want you to start out by really answering this question because you had some really golden nuggets for me before we started recording about advice for anybody starting out. You took a different path. You didn't go to college. You went to the Marines, got out, got your real estate license, bought a single family home. Wouldn't recommend that to anybody, although that gave you a lot of bumps and bruises. I mean, you're going to show me one soon. I'm going to want you to put your arm up on the screen for everyone to see. Real estate's a contact sport, everybody. For those of you out there, especially people who have the I'm a mentality, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. But Brady, let's really start out by sharing with the listeners. Give me some advice on anyone listening to this going, well, he's 25 years old, so I can't say I'm too young. He didn't start out with any money. Can't say that because he had very little money. He didn't have that much experience. You've probably objection blocked every objection there is out known to man and woman. How do I start in this business?
So first and foremost, I'd say educate yourself, you know, because you need to know exactly what you're looking for and what a good deal is, you know, what market you're trying to be in, so that when that smoking deal does come across your desk, you're in a position to jump on it, you know. Mm-hmm. And two, like for me and Dom, if I didn't know what I was talking about, obviously he wouldn't have had the faith to partner with a 25-year-old, mm-hmm. you know? So you at least need to have that knowledge base of, I understand this asset class, you know, these are our goals. This is where we're going. you know, and we established all that before we ever partnered on a deal. You know, we knew we want to buy B and C class multifamily in this region. This is how this is going to work. You know, these are the cap rates we're looking for. We had a certain DCR we were looking for. We had a certain cash on cash return we were looking for. And if I didn't know what those things were, that opportunity never would have been available to me. So I would say you have to start with education. I mean, that's by far the most important thing. And then, yeah, go ahead. Are you going to say
something? No, I was just going to say, thinking about that and you're discussing it, I want to ask this question right now because you're a high level before you even joined the community. You had, you know, 100 doors plus before you joined. What were the pain points that you were experiencing before you joined Jake and Gino?
Management, for sure. Management has by far been my largest struggle. Got to give a shout out to Jennifer Outland. She basically sent me everything that Rand does, and I've been able to rip off and duplicate that for our business. And I mean, that has saved me more money, saved me more time and more headaches than anything. I didn't think that self-managing would even be a possibility for us until I talked to Jennifer and, you know, some other members in the community. And I mean, that's paid off massively. So that's probably the biggest thing that I've gotten from Jake and Gino.
And when you say the management portion, it's not like you want to create a management company, but what that does for you is it really elevates, and you're a young person. You're already learning how to systematize a business. You're not stopping with multifamily. You've got so many years to go. Yeah. You may start another business where with another realtor, implement those systems in there. And you don't have to own thousands and thousands of units to be able to profit. Our profit per unit can be much higher because you're controlling the asset. So it's not about the management fee, but it's really about the control of the asset and driving that NOI. You want to discuss that and talk about that a little bit as far as how it's made your thought process change as well?
Yeah, I mean, as far as putting the numbers on paper, if you're just comparing what are my payroll costs versus what's the management fee if I hire a third party, yeah, you're not saving that much money. But if you can do it better than them, well, you know, that there's a massive difference. Look at all the extra equity that you're creating. You know, look at all the extra cash flow that you're getting, because it's a disservice if they don't care. And nobody's going to care as much as you do. You know, so that's been the largest thing for me bringing things in-house. I like having the control. I like if something's screwed up, I can go and fix it. You know, or I can make a phone call. This is what we're doing and this is how we're doing it. It's not about going from 10% to 8% or 10% to 6%, because that's not enough to, you know, to change anybody's life. But being able to control the process and add value the way that you see fit, that's huge.
And I got to push back on you a little bit. I think another thing that Jake and Gino community gave you, other than the networking and all that, was the IMA mentality. Didn't we shatter the IMA mentality a little bit? Weren't you plumbing and doing a lot of work that you shouldn't have been doing? And you got yourself hurt a little bit? And then you're 25 years old, bro. If you were 45, that would hurt a little bit more. I'm just saying, you're a little bit younger. Your healing rate is a lot quicker than mine is. So talk about that a little bit. The IMA mentality. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. How'd you get hurt?
This was about a year ago. I was trying to do some of my own plumbing work. It was just a faucet that was rusted on there from 50 years ago. And I was trying to crank it off and pop the tendon in my wrist. But I'd heavily recommend subbing out everything that you possibly can. And I mean, one of the things I saw in the community is, what do people focus their time on? And you have to sit down and understand, what is my time worth on an hourly basis? You know, am I going to do these $20 an hour tasks? Am I going to do something that I can hire somebody to come do for me for 15 bucks an hour? No. You know, your time is worth more than that. You need to be educating yourself. You need to be networking. You need to be trying to find deals. You know, you need to be doing those higher leverage tasks, those, you know, because those might be paying you $5,000 an hour. I mean, literally. Mm-hmm. So why would you waste your time and, you know, the mental capacity to do those things? You know, because you're kind of shooting yourself in the foot there.
Mm-hmm. So the Small Giants book, that's another thing that I really got to really take you to task, because you talk about manage right, but really a lot of the stuff that we talk about in the community is mindset. And for you, when you started, you wanted 1,000 units. And I challenged you. I said, why 1,000 units? And there's nothing wrong with that, everybody. It's sometimes when we're not really thinking about the future and not understanding why we want something, it's really important. And I recommend it to the Jake and Gino community specifically. Go back on the Jake and Gino channel. We interviewed Bo Burlingham, who wrote the Small Giants book. And if you're stuck and you're not really sure what you want, do you want to be the next Zuckerberg? Do you want to be the largest property management firm in the country? Do you want to have the most assets under management? Whatever that looks like, there's not a right or wrong answer, but understanding what you want is truly important. And if you could elaborate a little bit upon how that helped you out and how that cleared your thought process and your goals going forward.
Yeah. I mean, the first time I talked to you, I'm like, I want 1,000 units and I'm going to be a syndicator and I want to be huge. And you asked me why I wanted those things and I couldn't give you an answer. Because I didn't have a clear why, you know. So I had to take the time and figure out why am I buying multifamily in the first place. And it was, you know, it's financial freedom. It's creating that generational wealth. It's creating a great lifestyle for me, my family, kids, grandkids, you know, that kind of thing. So why do I want to own 1,000 units? And I figured out that wasn't my goal. And that's why I'm not doing that now. I'm not going to try to buy the next 100 unit property. I mean, yeah, we did just close on a 100 unit property, but it's because it fit in to what we're trying to build. You know, I'm not just growing for the sake of being big anymore. I'm trying to be the best multifamily operator in our region, you know, and I'm constantly trying to improve our margins, you know, and offer better quality housing for our tenants, you know, and bring some of these things in house that right now we're having to pay to third parties, you know, because you hire a plumber, it's astronomical. If you have a plumber on payroll, it's not too bad. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what we're doing right now because deals are still incredibly expensive and interest rates are high. I think it's a tough time to be buying right now. I mean, you may disagree. I know I'm not going to say there's a bad time to buy because there's not. But for where we're at in our business, we're trying to shore things up, you know, let's get all the units that we're rehabbing done. Let's bring some of these things in house that we're having to pay astronomically for. And let's try to, you know, establish a system for deal flow, you know, those kind of things.
So Miss Jen, I got to give her another shout out. Then Miss Jen give you a lot of clarity on that. Is now is not the right or wrong time to buy, but it may be the wrong time for Brady to buy right now because he's got a lot of meat on the bone. He's rehabbing these units. The quicker you can rehab them, the quicker you can push up your NOI, the quicker you can go out and either reposition and sell the asset, or in your case, you're probably going to refinance the asset. So sometimes wherever we put our focus on it, it may be a singular focus and there is no right or wrong time in the market to buy. You just have to know the type of asset you need to be buying in that part of the market cycle. There's the three pillars of real estate. Once again, it's the market cycle, the debt, and the exit strategy that you need to really pull together and to be clear on that. But, you know, what did Miss Jen say to you as far as, hey, maybe you should be working on this part of your business?
Yeah, I mean, it's just that you can't be a perfectionist, you know, and as far as real estate goes in general, nothing is going to be perfect and you're never going to get the perfect property in the perfect location at the perfect price with the perfect financing. You know, if you try to do business that way, you're never going to grow. So you just have to start at some, you know, it doesn't matter. I'm not going to say it doesn't matter where you jump in the market cycle because it definitely does, but there's not a bad time to start. Because you need to start learning, you need to start building the relationships, you need to start building the systems. You know, if you never start, you're never going to grow. Mm-hmm. So
Tony Robbins says that. He says, if you think I should do this and I should do that, you're gonna shit all over yourself, basically. And that's what it comes down to. And that's really, really, that's really, really important. Now let's talk about the 100 unit deal you just closed on, because I mean, it's a sizable deal and that's not where you started. I always tell students, think big. Start small, because if you're thinking about, I need to buy 100 unit property, but you really don't think you can do it, your behaviors are belief driven. So if you believe you can't do that in your subconscious, you'll never hit that 100 unit. Start small. Yeah. And you had started small. You had done smaller properties. How did you find this 100 unit property? And why was it so attractive for you to buy it?
Okay. So Dom and I established what our goals were. And we wrote like a 6 month, a 1 year, 3 year, 5 year. We hit our 5 year within 12 months. I had no anticipation of that happening. I mean, it's crazy. But the reason that we bought that deal is because we were so easy to work with a previous property that we bought from the same seller. We ended up buying every single property that he owns, and it was because we weren't difficult to work with. We did what we said we were going to do. And so one day he called us up and was like, hey, I'm going to sell you these two properties at this price. Do you want them or no? You know, and it was an easy decision because it was a great deal. I mean, it was 97 units for 2.85, which is absurd. You know.
Wow. And how did, I mean, obviously the financing probably was easy because you could probably got regular bank financing on this deal. Did you get community bank financing on this deal?
Yeah. Everything that we've ever bought has been community bank or credit union. It's always, we started with community banks just because that's what was close to us. Finally, we found a credit union who is smoking community banks as far as the rates go. I mean, they're about a point and a half better. So, and that's why I sent that list of credit unions out to everybody in the community that asked for it. If you didn't get it, shoot me an email. I'll be happy to get that to you. I mean, I would heavily recommend contacting a credit union that works within your state or in your region and see if they're heavy on commercial real estate. It saved us a lot of money.
And a lot of them have 30-year amortizations on there as well. Some of them do interest only. And that's what's the beautiful thing to me is about capitalism. In 2015, where we were buying deals, community banks were awesome. Then Freddie, SBA comes in, takes out communities. And now communities had to come back in 2019 and 20. Got a lot stronger. Then credit unions start popping up. And then there's a little bit of CMBS going on. So that's why it's important to be part of the community to understand what's going on in the marketplace. And a lot of our students have transitioned over to credit union, so that is phenomenal. What's the plan with the property? What's the rent rolls look like? What is your plan with this property?
So the rents are definitely under market. Our average rent is $470 right now. So I'm trying to get the average rent up over $600. We've got just a couple of vacants. I'm rehabbing 12 vacants right now, and it cost me around $11,000 to $12,000 to turn a vacant unit. I mean, for what condition they're in, that's pretty rough. Basically, we're going to get those rehabbed, slowly increase those rents over the next 18 to 24 months. Try not to force a bunch of turnover at once, you know, just because I don't want to deal with that headache. And then depending on where rates are, we'll try to refi. Because right now we've got our rate locked in at 4 flat for 10 years. So yeah, I was ecstatic with that one.
Couple of things on here, Brady. I really need to mention this to everybody because I really need to bring this deal into focus for everybody. You bought this asset for around $30,000 a unit. You're probably going to put in another $10,000 a unit. You're going to be at $40,000 per unit on average. Rents are going to be around $600. So that's way more than 1% rule. So for everybody out there, you don't need to do massive underwriting. You have to say $40 a door, $600 rents. That's what it really comes down to. And when you're looking at this deal, if rates are still high, you can do a supplemental loan. You can keep your loan on there. And if you want to refi some capital out, you do a supplemental, an additional loan on top of what you have and pull out capital. We're in the process of doing that right now. And then when rates get lower, you can bundle both of them up and then take them off the agency, Fannie and Freddie, when they get them off their balance sheet. And I like the idea of not creating a ton of vacancy. So he has a three-step framework. He's filling all the vacants right now. Then he's probably going to start implementing RUBS and making sure that all the utilities are passed off and any other fees. And then the third one is raise remaining rents. So that whole process, he's working with that as well. I would not be looking at putting any other deals on the contract right now. You've got an amazing deal where Brady, if this thing is worth $60 a door, which I think you're probably going to have a $6 million asset that you're into it for 3.5 or 4. You're creating $2 million at least of equity. But more importantly, you're creating a cash monster. This thing will probably be generating between $150 and $200 a month in cash flow. Yep. And you multiply that by 97, you're talking about a serious ton of money. So Ms. Jen is right. Focus on this asset. Get this thing up and running. Obviously, continue to deal flow, continue to underwrite deals, but a lot of your focus is going on this asset. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. And I mean, it's cash flowing pretty strong, even with the vacants and with the under market rents. So it's kind of all upside from here. We've never had to really underwrite. I'm not going to say we've never had to underwrite, but we've never had to be really strict with underwriting. It's like, this is a no-brainer deal. That's what the seller wants. Let's do it. We move forward. And I've seen a lot of people screw that up, especially on the realtor side.
Brady, early on. I'm going to tell you the reason why, because you understand the asset. You understand your market. You understand where rents are. You understand where income is. You understand where the expenses are. So when you look at the deal, you're creating a pro forma in your mind with the experience that you have. Now, I wouldn't recommend this to everyone just starting out. You need to get into the underwriting calculators, look at the underwriting, see what happens when you change income and expenses, when you change the sales price, when you change debt going from 4% to 6%, how that affects, you know, your valuations and how that affects returns. But once you've been doing this for a year or two, and more importantly, Brady, you have a buy rate criteria. You're looking for B and C assets in a certain market with a certain median income, with a certain unit mix, with a certain ability to add value add. So you already know what you're looking for. And then once you find that, you already understand where the value can get to. It's just a function of what price you're willing to pay on the front end. And that's a testament to getting yourself prepared on top of the education. So, I mean, anything else you want to add to that?
Yeah, I'll give you a quick story about the whole being greedy piece. Because some people just underwrite the crap out of every single deal until you get analysis paralysis, and there's no way you're ever going to buy this smoking deal. So I kind of felt like we were already tapped out at this point. I didn't know what tapped out was. You know, at this point, I feel like we're not buying. I keep saying we're not buying, we're not buying, we're not buying, and we keep buying. So that's just part of it. But this one came across my desk. It was a 12 unit downtown in a really good location. And the seller was asking 265 for it, which 12 units for 265,000 in a good location. I mean, it's kind of hard to screw that one up.
You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised. Some people can screw anything up, but okay. I'm sorry. Continue. Yeah.
So I had a client, a friend of mine, who had said, if you ever find a good deal, let me know. I'll buy it. So I called him. I'm like, you have to see this. You have to buy it. I mean, it's 12 units. It's in a great location. It's where you want to be. And it's way under market value. So I told him what she was asking. And he was like, you think she'd take 250? I'm like, you got to be shitting me. I mean, you got this smoking deal at 50% of market value, and you're trying to get 15 grand off. So what ended up happening was, I talked to her, it pissed her off. And so I just agreed to buy it for full price, what she was asking for. We came in, we painted a couple of the units, we rented the vacant ones, and then we just refied that at 715. That was it. I spent about 28,000 renovating the thing. And, you know, I mean, that going back, you have to have the education to know when some smoking deal like that comes across your table, you have to buy it. I mean, don't do them over $5,000. Don't try to, you know, because you're just shooting yourself in the foot there.
For me, it's price versus value. I think, Brady, you laid it out, and I'm going to explain it to everybody. As an entrepreneur or as an investor, we always focus on the price of the asset. So if that person paid $265 or even $300 above, what's the value of where can it go? If you think you can go to 500, you just made $200,000. We're worried more about the loss of that $30,000 that we had to overpay than we are about the gain of the $300,000. That's basic human psychology. That's called an ego. Leave the ego at the door. Don't worry about the ego. And you know why I know this so well? I've done it countless times. I am a man of wisdom. Someone who's smart learns from other people's mistakes, right? Well, someone who's smart, it learns from their own mistakes. So I'm a smart dude. The wise person is the one listening to the show right now, where they should be learning from what Brady and I are talking about. Leave your ego at the door. Do what's best for you. And it depends on the market cycle. 10 years ago, you can negotiate 265 to 250. You can do that. But now in this part of the market cycle, when you get a smoking deal and you see the price is right, maybe you don't want to seem so, gung-ho for this and tip your hand by saying, oh, 265, that may be a little bit of a stretch, but let me go take a look at it. Okay, let's agree upon it. I mean, that's maybe the tact you take, but you can't negotiate something like that in this part of the market cycle. And the education will tell you that. Now, as deals start trading down, and the assets are starting to get a little expensive, maybe there's a little wiggle room, but don't hesitate on those amazing deals. Do you want to add anything to that?
Yeah. I mean, just you have to be ready for that, you know, because as long as you're getting out there and you're calling the realtors, you're calling the brokers, or you're working some seller lists, you're cold calling, whatever you're doing, as long as you have deal flow and you have leads coming in, you're going to see a smoking deal eventually. Mm-hmm. So when you do find that, you have to be able to pull the trigger. Don't get analysis paralysis. I mean, underwrite it, make sure the numbers work, make sure you're comfortable with it. But if you are, pull the trigger, you know, don't, because you have to start somewhere. You're going to, you know, you're going to screw up. You're going to make expensive mistakes, and there's no way around that, you know, but that's kind of the nature of this business or any business. You just dive in head first. You make educated decisions, but you screw it up, you learn, and you move on, you know, just constantly be trying to get better, learn from your mistakes, learn from other people's mistakes. But if you're too scared to start, then, you know, you're never going to end up anywhere.
And I'm going to add to that as well. If you're too scared to start, you probably should be scared, because I was scared when I started. What did I do? Yeah. I sought out a great partner. I had Jake as a partner. And right now I created the Jake and Gino community. So there's so many people starting out that don't know where to start, don't know how to take that action, but there's an accountability component to it. And that's really, really important. I wanted to mention something about that deal for everybody out there who thinks they need to get a life-changing deal by getting 100 units. The deal that Brady just discussed to me 10 years ago would have been life-changing. It took me a lot of time to make that much money in my restaurant business. And Brady did that with a 12-unit deal, a $265,000 asset. He more than doubled the value and put that money into his pocket. And more importantly, the cost segregation benefits that he has from it, the cash flow, the appreciation, and the equity that he pulled out, all from 12 units. So I don't want anybody out there saying, oh, I got to go big. No, you've got to get the right deal that makes sense for you. And you have to understand how that can change your life. One 12 unit deal can put you on that path to financial freedom. I mean, it's amazing what that asset's done for you.
And that one, I mean, it was very little work. We were done in 60 days. They rented all within 2 weeks. And within 6 months, we had refied it and we bought a 22 unit with no money out of pocket.
So that's how you do it right there, friends.
Don't get much better than that, you know?
Yes. And that's how do I find the money for real estate? Well, find the great deal, reposition it, pull the money out. Don't do what most people do by buying the Lambo or buying a house, refied into another deal. Now you have 12 units that is basically no money into it, and you have 22 units that is really not any of your money because you borrowed it from the 12. So you have 32 units with none of your technically money in the deal. And this 22 units, once it's repositioned, you're going to refi that deal, pull the money out of that one, and go buy the 50 unit or the 100 unit. That's how it starts, everybody. It may take a couple of years to get on the conveyor belt. Once the snowball starts, you can say goodbye to single family homes and say goodbye to being a realtor, because you don't need any of that stuff. You've got your business humming and chumming, correct?
Yeah, that's right. Whew. Which at this point, I know I was trying to get out of selling full time and I did, but one of the things we're looking at doing now is opening a brokerage, you know, because that's going to be another source of deals, you know.
You read the Honeybee book, huh? With the multiple.
I love revenue. That. Absolutely love that. Mm-hmm. And I've already got the staff running a property management company. Why don't we just hang that under the same license and do that for other people? Mm-hmm. You know, and that may result in more deals.
And let me put this out for everybody. Brady didn't come on here and said, you got to start with 100 unit deals. What I love about the story is he started out small. And in a couple of years, that's all it takes, everybody. All of a sudden, you start scaling up and learning the systems and learning how to do it. You've got the investment property. Now, all of a sudden, he's got a property management company that's throwing off revenue as well. So he's got two streams of revenue going on. All of a sudden, he may say to himself, I'm going to open up a brokerage. The brokerage is another stream of revenue. And I know Brady, in the back of his mind, he's saying, I got to get this CapEx crew going. I got to start doing my own flooring, my own construction. Oh, yeah. That's another one. See, I can read minds. I'm really good at this, aren't I? So he's already got that going. And give him a couple of years, he's going to say, I need to open up a title company as well. And maybe bring some accounting person in here as well, correct?
It's like multifamily is... That's the main thing. That's the big river. I mean, that's the one that's going to create all the wealth, you know, and change our lives the most. Everything else is just, this is something we got to pay for. We've already got the systems. It wouldn't be that much of a headache to plug this in. Let's make it happen. You know, let's cut our cost here and maybe kick a little extra revenue off of that as well, you know. So
you have that main river. So your mindset is so amazing because you have that main tributary. And what you're doing is that's the main tributary. I'm always going to focus on this, but I have these other little tributaries on the side that can feed into this main one, make this main one even bigger. But these little ones one day may get to be pretty big as well. And I may be able to one day sell off my construction company, or I may be able to sell off the property management company, or I may be able to sell off another one. But in the same time, I'm creating value. I'm adding another business. I'm adding another stream. And it's always feeding the main, the most important one, which is the legacy one, which is the one that's giving me the tax benefits, which is giving me the cash flow and the growth. I love that.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And as far as the, for us, for our business, for the timing aspect, that's the best thing we could be doing right now. Let's start reducing our expenses while we're running all this CapEx, while we're renovating all these vacant units. You know, at some point, if we get these smaller companies up and running and we've got nice deal flow coming in and we get all these vacants rented, we'll be in a position to go take down another 100 unit deal, or, you know, a couple hundred units. You know,
I love that. Last question for me. What is your next step or your next goal in multifamily? Now that you're doing this, you know, Ms. Jen's gotten you stabilizing these assets. I mean, you said you hit your 5 year in a year. So, I mean, you're going to hit your 10 year, 2 years. What does that look like for you?
Geez, I guess we need to sit back down and rehash out our goals. I mean, it's a good problem to have, but, That was just a year ago that we wrote out all our 3 year, 5 year, you know. So at this point, shoring up everything is my main priority, and getting the brokerage and the management company up and running. And, you know, from there, I think we'll jump back to growing our multifamily portfolio. Obviously, if a good deal comes up, I'm going to buy it. You know, we're going to buy it. So, I mean, you're not going to turn those things down, but that's primarily the focus right now.
And it's funny you say that, because you're a deal junkie, like most of the people in Jake and Gino community. If there's a deal, you'll figure out a way to make it happen. But the growth and the systems are already there for you to say, okay, if this deal comes, I can't say no to it. You already got people and deal flow coming to you, but you know what your singular focus is. A couple of big takeaways, everybody, for me, is if Brady never started, he wouldn't be talking about 100 units plus. He started in a hot market. Everyone's saying, oh, the market's hot in 2019, 2020. If he had said to himself, oh, the market's too hot, I'm going to wait till the market slows down, he'd be in a much different situation right now, because now the economy's slowing down. And I think now is just as good a time as any to start, because now you're going to have opportunities from operators who have been operating properly. Now you're going to have motivated sellers that all of a sudden bridge debt is burning off, or their debt is resetting. They have to sell. So everybody out there has to figure out what their goal is and why they're getting into this vehicle, and just decide to start. That's the important thing. Brady, where can the listeners get a hold of you?
Yeah, so you can message me on Facebook, Brady Pratt, or you can email me anytime. It's Pratt, it's Brady at PrattRE.net. Sorry, I have like five different email addresses. It's hard to keep up with them all. And you know, I'm not the most tech savvy. I screwed up the Zoom thing trying to log on here.
Well, that's where we're kindred spirits. I'm a spaz like Brady. I haven't broken anything lately, but you know, as you get older in life, you just got to be a little bit more careful. And as far as being tech savvy, I can barely turn the computer on. Brady's even less than me. So the moral of this story is, you don't have to be a genius to be really good in real estate. You just have to figure a few things out, take massive action. And as Napoleon Hill likes to say, it's really about persistence. It's about persistence, putting a plan in action, being persistent about it, having those goals and that vision of what you want to try to achieve, and then taking constant action every little single day. And then obviously leveling up, because I don't think Brady needed Jake and Gino's education to get to where he is, but I know for sure that he's going to need it, and it's helped him to get to where he wants to ultimately go. And that's really important, being able to shorten that learning curve and give him some ideas about his clarity about what his vision wants to look like. Now, I just want to thank him for coming on the show today and just sharing his insights. And for anybody out there that they're too young, they don't have enough money, they're not really sure, after this podcast, I really hope that he's inspired you to look within yourself and say, if Brady can do it with a broken arm, not being able to get on Zoom, then I can do it.
That's right. That's right.
Anything else to add before we sign off?
No. I think that's it, man. I really appreciate you having me.
My pleasure. If you guys, anyone listening on the show wants to be the next Movers and Shakers guest, just email us at michelle@jakeandgino.com. If you like the show, just leave us a review at Jake and Gino. And I just want to thank Brady once again. Made my day today. Everyone out there, let's go out and let's make it happen. Thanks, Brady.